early in the morning while it was still dark. There's something about that phrase that is so poignant to me. Early in the morning, so early that the sun still hadn't found its way out of bed, Mary Magdalene woke up and stretched and then felt that terrible shock that we do when the death of someone close is so fresh that we have to realize it again to tell ourselves the bad news and make ourselves believe it again every morning. If you've been there, then you know there are really only two choices: to get back in bed and turn away from the day and your sorrow, or to keep moving, to keep doing what needs to be done, hoping that somehow you'll feel better. You'll get up and move because you must, because you fear if you don't, you might never move again. So you get up and do something, anything, because anything is better than nothing. You do the tasks of daily life. You fold the laundry. You empty the dishwasher, mow the lawn, take a walk, visit the cemetery. And that's what Mary did. She got up and went to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. Burial preparation had been left unfinished because of the Sabbath. But now, Mary could do this one last thing for Jesus. But when she got there, the stone was rolled away. And she assumed immediately that someone had taken Jesus' body. She took off to find Peter and the disciple who Jesus loved, and they ran to the tomb to confirm her fear. The body was missing. But strangely, the grave clothes were still there, folded neatly. We're told that on seeing this, John believed, and yet still didn't understand. Perhaps what he believed was simply what Mary said, that Jesus wasn't there. And with this new grief added to their already devastated hearts, the men turned back for home. It was just too much for them to bear. Maybe they tried to get Mary to come, to leave this place of grief, but she wouldn't go. She needed to be at the place where she had seen him last. And as the men moved out of sight, she turned back to the tomb. Like them, she ducked inside, but this time it wasn't empty. Instead, there were two angels there, dressed in white, sitting on the spot where Jesus' body had been. And they asked, "Why are you crying?" What kind of question is that to ask someone at a cemetery? Taking deep breaths, trying to calm the sobs enough to be understood, Mary told them what was wrong. Someone had taken the body of her Lord, and with it, all hope of all the things Jesus incarnated, love, compassion, grace, felt like those were gone too. And then, turning to leave, she almost bumped into a man who was standing there. He echoed the angel's question, "Why are you crying?" Her eyes blurry with tears in the new light of the morning. She assumed he was the gardener, and she begged him to tell her where her Lord was. And then he spoke her name, Mary. Suddenly she knew, "Rabboni, teacher, Jesus." Hearing her name, spoken by Jesus' familiar voice, brought a transformation of her grief and the opening of a new world. I imagine her throwing her arms around him, still sobbing, but this time tears of joy, as he gives her the most comforting hug before gently taking her arms and setting her back and letting her know that there is yet work to be done to bring God's kingdom to earth. He must return to his Father in heaven, and she must go and tell. She must become the first gospel evangelist, the apostle to the apostles. supposing he was the gardener, I love that detail of this story. It's pretty clear that she didn't encounter some perfected, radiant, glowing Jesus that morning. Jesus couldn't have been looking all that tidy and impressive if she mistook him for the gardener. Maybe she mistook the resurrected Christ for the gardener because Jesus still had the dirt from his own tomb under his nails. Maybe he had borrowed some clothes from the gardener's clothesline since his last set was still lying in the tomb. Or maybe, just maybe, in mistaking him for the gardener, some part of her was recognizing him in his truest nature. After all, Jesus is God's own self revealed, and God was the first gardener, bringing forth new life and beauty from utter chaos in the very beginning. What Jesus reveals to us is a God who isn't so great at choosing friends, at least not from the world's standards. A God who would rather die than be in the sin accounting business anymore. A God who wouldn't lift a finger to condemn those who crucified him, but went to the depths of hell rather than be apart from his own betrayers. A God unafraid to get his hands dirty for the ones he loves. This is the God who rises to new life with dirt under his nails and chooses a woman with a past to tell everyone else about it. I'm not a gardener, even though sometimes I try, but I know some of the best gardeners. And what I know about them is that they are hopeful people. They put into the ground seeds, cover them with manure, and leave them be for days and weeks and even months on end, trusting that something new will be born out of those seeds. But before seeds can give birth to that new life, they must be buried. It is good news for us that God the gardener, who we know best through Jesus, keeps reaching down into the dirt of humanity and resurrecting us from the graves we dig for ourselves through our violence and our lies, our selfishness, our arrogance, our addictions, our brokenness. And God keeps loving us back to life over and over again. Jesus didn't rise again just to lift himself. He rose to lift us. He didn't rise just to show that he could. He rose to show us that we can. He defied death to set us free from fear and the absence of hope. And on Easter morning, we are resurrected. The world is being redeemed. The tomb is empty, and a new creation is bursting forth right here in the midst of this one. You know, Jesus easily could have appeared to Peter, who for better or worse would become the spokesperson for the church, or to the one who was with him, the one described as the disciple whom Jesus loved, who saw the empty tomb and believed. It would have made sense for Jesus to appear to them. Why not surprise them as they took stock of these cast-off grave clothes? Why not appear before them as they stepped from the abandoned tomb, before they ran home and fell back into bed, maybe to drift to sleep with images of an empty garden cave fixed in their minds, and wake again, wondering if it was all a dream. But instead, Jesus chose Mary, the one who stood weeping outside the tomb after those other disciples had gone home. Jesus came to her, and then sent her to go and tell the others. Perhaps Jesus chose her because she already knew something about what it meant to be freed from a tomb, what it felt like for new life to spring forth. In Luke's gospel, we're told that Mary Magdalene is the woman Jesus freed from 7 demons. She knew what it was like to be imprisoned. and what it was like to be delivered to new life. This is how Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber puts it. I think Mary was chosen because she was a woman from whom demons had fled. I think Mary was chosen because she knew what it was like for God to move, not when the lilies are already out in the church and the lights are on, but while it was still dark. Because in a night when the men looked in and saw only laundry, when Mary Magdalene looked in the tomb, she saw angels. Mary knew what it's like for God to move in the darkness, where despair roams wild and free, choking out hope and joy and even sometimes love. And so, Jesus came to this woman who had endured torment and trial to show her once again that there is hope beyond despair, there is healing beyond suffering, that there is life beyond death. Mary's own story is a testament to this truth. She's uniquely qualified to bear witness to the good news of the resurrection. Jesus chose her to go and tell the others a resurrection story. Mary Magdalene becomes the apostle to the apostles, the one sent to go and share the good news. She was the first witness in a long line of witnesses, from the apostles who traveled the globe bearing the story of resurrection, to the saints of the early church who proclaimed the good news in word and deed, to evangelists who crossed stormy seas and planted churches throughout North America, to us, who are still called to bear witness to the abundant life we know in Christ. And like Mary, we have something to say about resurrection because we too know what it's like to go to the tomb while it's still dark. We've wept salty tears after the death of a beloved or over a diagnosis that shatters the dreams we've dreamed. We've all wondered where the thing we so desperately sought for has gone. Where is compassion gone? Where is friendship gone? Where is our sense of peace gone? Where is hope gone? And maybe these experiences are exactly what make us qualified to proclaim the good news, to proclaim, as Mary did, that God turns graves into gardens. No matter what demons we've suffered, what torment we've endured, what pain we carry, Jesus sees us just as we are. He sees our scars. He sees our resilience. He sees our doubt. He sees our faithfulness. He sees us. And he calls us each by name and shows us, as he did Mary, that even for us, even for this broken world, there is hope beyond despair and healing beyond suffering and life beyond death. And then our risen Lord sends us out, uniquely qualified because of who we are, to tell a resurrection story. I have seen the Lord, said Mary Magdalene. She told the disciples and they told others, and they told others, and so on, until one day someone told me. One day someone told you. We may not remember the first time we heard the story. It may simply be a part of who we are. Or it may have come as a gift when we needed it desperately. A word of hope early on a dark morning. This story is a story I've known since I was a little girl. I can't remember when I heard it for the first time, but there have been Easters where I didn't feel the joy or see the hope. So I understand Mary going through the motions, going to prepare the body, one foot in front of the other. I understand that she didn't recognize Jesus because she had no hope. I understand that she supposed him to be the gardener, because who else would be there so early in the morning? But that gardener reminded her good news. That God has the power to take what we see as death to what we see as dead and gone and bring it to new life. By the grace of God, we are witnesses to the good news. The sun rises and the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you pray with me? Jesus, today as we peer once again into your empty tomb, remind us of all you have told us, and then guide our feet to follow. Fill the empty tombs of our hearts with your love that can't be contained. Breathe new life into us, into your church, into your world, and overcome our fear so that we too may be found among the living. Turn our expectations upside down and lead us into the new and different world you're creating, even now.